Welcome to another life-changing teaching by Jerry Dierman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. For more information about Pastor Jerry's teaching and ministry, please visit jerrydierman.com.
I tell you what, I believe God has one for you today. Do you believe that? Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Galatians. Guess which chapter? Chapter 6. How'd you know? We've been on this study called Planting a More Fruitful Life. How many of you want a more fruitful life? You know, that could have been a stronger amen right there. Let me just hit rewind. How many of you want a more fruitful life? Wow, that was a good response. Shocked me. I wasn't expecting that good of a response. Galatians chapter 6. I want to begin at the 7th verse. We're going to read again through verse 9. Galatians chapter 6. I'm reading from the New King James, which is what I usually read from. If you don't have that particular translation, that's okay, because there are a lot of good ones out there. But for the sake of reading aloud, follow along on the screens if you would. Okay, Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, reading loudly and together. Let's read. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, we talked about a number of things. We talked about how we need to take responsibility. God's Word teaches us not to blame the harvest of our life on other things or other people, but to say, no, I have sown things in my life. Even the things that came to me that I didn't have control of, the way I responded to those things were my choice. And I could have taken God's Word and attacked those things. I could have taken God's Word and spoken it and declared it and received it. But I chose to do certain things, to sow certain things in my life. And much of what's happening in my life now is because of me. God is asking every Christian to take responsibility. Now, the negative about that is some people don't want to have to look back at the past and say that could be my fault. The positive is that we can look at the future and say, you know what, I don't just have to take whatever comes to me. I can begin to sow and see something more fruitful in my life. And then we answered this question, where'd that come from? We want to know, where'd that come from? And we begin to show from the Word of God how things are tied together. Things that we say are connected to things happening in our lives. Things that we hear, things that we see, they've come into our heart. And we talked about how the heart is like Grand Central Station. And if you want to control the harvest of your life, in other words, if you want to control the stuff that's going on in your life, you must control your heart. You have to filter what comes into your ears, filter what comes into your eyes, filter what comes out of your mouth. And make sure that the Word of God is going through Grand Central Station so that the promises of the Word of God begin to come out in your life. And then we talked about how God sees everything. So even though you may have done some things that nobody caught you doing, you know, you ripped the government off a little bit with some taxes and you thought you got away with it. Well, when you come over here and say, Lord, I'm believing you to bless me, God, help me, promote me and all of that, we forget that even though the government might not have seen it, God saw it. Is that right? Even though your spouse might not have seen it, God saw it. And so you can't play both sides with God. That's why it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, whatever a man sows. Because God is the overseer of the harvest, and He makes sure that all of our seeds come up. And so that's why you can't fool God. God sees. We need to live before the Lord. And then we talked about, last week, the right seed. How the Word of God is unlike any other words in the world because they came out of the heart of God. They're breathe with His breath. And so God's power and anointing are on His words. And so therefore, when we pull God's Word into our heart, we're not only pulling words and information, we're pulling the power to bring those words to pass right into our life. And so that's the seed we need to be planting into our hearts and minds, is the seed of the Word of God. Now, I want to focus today on verse 8. You know, verse 7 says, whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. But notice verse 8. This is what I want to get to today, I believe, because the Holy Spirit's directing me here. Listen. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, sometimes when you go too fast, you don't catch some things that are right there in the text. And sometimes when you start meditating and go over it and over it, nice and slow, you catch something. Now, listen closely and see if something very simple doesn't pop out at you. Listen. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to your flesh, you will reap of your flesh. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Notice the to and the of. See, there, you're sowing to something, and whatever you sow to, you will reap from. Okay? So notice again, he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap, and what do you reap? Corruption. You know what corruption is? Corruption is corrosion, decay, erosion. It is rust. You know what rust does to your car? It eats it away. Corruption eats your life away. It'll eat your relationships away. It'll eat your self-confidence away. It'll eat your joy away, your peace of mind. And you'll be going through life, but you don't have peace. You don't have joy. You're functioning. You're alive, but life is not in you. You're being drained from the life of God. You're being drained from the quality of life. That's corruption. How does that come? That comes because you've sown to the flesh. And the flesh that reaps the harvest in your life is a harvest of decay and corruption. In other words, it's taking all of the parts of your life and decaying those parts. They're eroding right before your eyes. And sometimes you can't figure out, why is this happening to me? And you ask those kind of questions. Why is this? Why does it always happen to me? Why can't I get my life right? Why don't my relationships go right? Why can't I ever get my finances in order? Why can't I ever get my health right? And we ask all of these questions, but the Bible says, don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that he'll reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap a decay of life. But if you'll change what you're sowing or where you're sowing and sow to the Spirit, he said, you'll of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, don't think of everlasting life as only heaven. Everlasting life comes into us when we're born again and will continue to flow into us as we sow to the things of the Spirit. It's like every person in the backyard of their life has two fields. One field is the field of the flesh. And if you look to the field of the flesh and you sow your time, you sow your energy, you sow your money, you sow your attention into the things of the flesh, then when you go out the back door to live your life, you're only going to have a harvest over here, or mostly over in this flesh side. And the harvest that you get is destroying your life. But if you'll choose not to sow to that field, but sow to the Spirit field, and plant into the things of the Spirit, then when you go to live your life, you'll find out that there's life and you have help that you didn't even know of. All of a sudden, your relationships are going better than they should for you, being a knucklehead like you are. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's like you've got help. It's like, it's like, man, this is good. It's like riding in a car. You couldn't go that fast on your own. Somebody is helping you. Somebody is giving life to your life. Well, how did that happen? It didn't just haphazardly happen. It didn't happen because God said, you know what? I'm going to help that bonehead right there. That's not how it works. No, we sow to the Spirit. We sow to the Spirit and we reap everlasting life. Now, I want to look back over at chapter 5 of Galatians because this context is what Paul's talking about. I want to show you what Paul was just talking about before he went into this passage about reaping and sowing so we can understand the basis, the foundation. And I want to start at verse 16 of chapter 5. And notice Paul says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen again, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now let me say that another way in light of what we've been talking about, because it means the same thing. Walk in the Spirit means sow to the Spirit. If you sow to the Spirit, you will not reap the harvest of the flesh. Are you listening to me? He said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Another way to say that is, sow to the Spirit and you will not reap the harvest of corruption in your life, of the flesh. Are you getting that? See that? Walking in the Spirit, how do you do that? You sow to the Spirit. I'm going to talk to you about how to do that in just a minute. Sow to the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now he goes on to say in verse 17 that there's a war going on inside of you. How many of you know that? There's a war inside. It says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Let me just tell you right now that there's a war happening inside of you. If you think that, you know, when you get saved, oh, I'm going to give my life to Jesus, and then from then on out, everything in me is going to want to serve Jesus. I mean, I just want to be nice to people. I want to be honest. I always want to speak positive about them. Never be critical behind their back. Oh, never gossip. No. I just want to do, I want to serve them. I want, even in my own family, you sit down, relax. Let me serve you. Please, please. What would you like? Would you like me to make you some dinner? Please. Oh, yeah, I got the dishes. Please. How many of you know that's not the way it is? Is that right? No, there's still flesh. There's the Spirit and then there's flesh. There's a war going on the inside, Paul says. Now notice verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Thank God for that. Now let me just tell you something. When he says led by the Spirit, I believe that's called, that's the Holy Spirit. But in verse 17 where it says the flesh lusts against the Spirit and Spirit against the flesh, in the Greek, the original Greek text, Spirit is not capitalized. It's the word pneuma. And when the word pneuma is used, it just means spirit. Sometimes it could mean your spirit, because you have a spirit. Sometimes it means the Holy Spirit. Obviously, if it says Holy Spirit, it means Holy Spirit. If it says Spirit of God, it means Holy Spirit. If it says Spirit of truth, it means Holy Spirit. If it says Spirit of grace, it means Holy Spirit. So in a lot of places, you can tell just by the way it reads whether it's the Holy Spirit or your spirit. But in some cases, in many cases, it just says Spirit, and so the translators try to discern whether it's talking about the Holy Spirit or your spirit. I believe in verse 17 that it should not be capitalized, that it's talking about your spirit. But it really isn't an arguing point, because the Bible says when you're born again, you become one spirit with Him. And so His Spirit is in your spirit, and they're all in there one together. Okay, so it's not a big deal. But I want you to understand something, that it's not the Holy Spirit fighting against the flesh. It's your own spirit as well inside. You are a born-again person if you receive Jesus. And there's a war going on the inside, and it's two sides of you that are having a battle. Now, I want to show you, beginning at verse 19, the harvest of the flesh. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Now, when he says works of the flesh, just, you might as well make a note of it. It correlates to the harvest of the flesh over in chapter 6, when he says, he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. I'm going to list off for you some of the things that Paul says reap corruption in your life. Listen, here they are. The works, or we could say the harvest of the flesh, are evident, which are adultery. How many of you know adultery causes corruption? I mean, it looks good, like, oh man, you know, you're going to cross a marriage line, and you're going to commit adultery there, and it's like the world kind of makes it look like, oh, kind of sneaky and kind of good and going to get away with something. How many of you know somebody's life is about to be corroded and decayed? Somebody's heart is about to erode from joy. I mean, this is not just something like, well, you know, we just hit it off. No, listen to me. He says the harvest of the flesh, he starts off adultery. Adultery. That's not just a little fling. It's like, oh yeah, okay, I shouldn't have done that and just get right back on with life. No. Somebody's life is going to be devastated. Is that right? See, let me tell you about God. God's not a party pooper. He didn't say, hey, let's list all the things that are fun and then say no. That's not what God did. You know what God did? God says, let's list all the things that erode and decay people's lives and show them how not to do it that way, but to get all of the same fun and blessing within the parameters of safety so that the fun is not taken away. And the fun actually enhances life, doesn't corrode it. But the world doesn't want to wait to do it God's way. I want it, and I want it now. And they get it now, but it costs them dearly, and it costs somebody else dearly.
See, adultery. The works of the flesh, the harvest of the flesh. Adultery. That's just the first one. That's a heavy one, isn't it? Look at the next one. Adultery. Then he goes on to say fornication. Sex outside of marriage. You think it's fun? Well, it's fun. You know, the Bible says sin is pleasure for a season. But do you realize you're missing something? Do you realize that God's way is the best? You know, it's like taking two pieces of scotch tape, you know, and you can put it on a piece of fabric and pull it off. What happens? There's fuzz on there. Will it still stick? Yeah, but not as good. We'll stick it on fabric again and pull it off. There's more fuzz. Stick it again. After you do that so many times, then you go to stick it on something that doesn't hold. Why not? Because you didn't have any more stick. There's no more stick. The way God intended for relationships to happen is two people before the Lord are allowing their heart to be changed and full of life. That life causes stick. There's love going on in there. There's love and purity. And so then, when the two people come and they begin to get to know one another and think this may be the person for me, and they begin to go down that road, and then they get married, and then after they get married, then, what happens? You ever put two pieces of tape together? You know how hard that is to get apart? See, it's different. But if you're just sticking to this person, that person, like one guy said, well, you know what? We're living together because we want to find out if we're physically compatible. Maybe I shouldn't tell you, but I like what one of my friends said. He said, my dad told me, physically compatible bull. He said, son, let me just tell you right now, one size fits all. Well, there is, and obviously, a point to getting to know somebody and seeing if you connect to them relationally and all that. But let me tell you, there are other ways and better ways to do that than to go outside of God's ways. You know, our wedding night. I got some pictures. I tell you what. See, now Kim and I were not perfect people, but we really did, both of us, love God and try to hold ourselves pure before the Lord, before marriage. So we weren't those who were just out everywhere. And let me tell you, if you've already done some things and been out there and around the block, so to speak, let me tell you, the Lord will start you fresh today. Don't you let that keep you from doing right. From this point forward, if you'll begin to follow the Lord, let me tell you, He'll start taking that fuzz off of your heart and put that stick back on. And by the time, man, something of the Lord comes about in your life, man, I'm telling you, something can happen. God's good like that. He's good. But I tell you what, it's meant to be an experience. Did you know that? The wedding night is meant to be an experience. Because, see, you've been waiting and waiting and waiting, loving that person, longing for that person, but yet doing the right thing before the Lord. And then you get married, and all of a sudden, now there's something special. I mean, it could have been on America's Funniest Home Videos, if I'm telling you. Because, don't get kinky on me now. I mean, it was just funny. We laughed and laughed. I mean, there was embarrassment going on. I mean, this wasn't just like something we were doing all the time. Or at all. You understand? So this is something, let me tell you, all that stuff is part of it. And if you listen to the world, you'll just get down to that low level relationship. I'm going to get some. I'm going to get a piece. Peace? I want the whole thing. I want the whole relationship. You understand? I want the heart connection. I want all that the Lord has planned in a marriage. Well, you don't get that by just listening to the world's way of doing things. And just going in the flesh. That's sowing to the flesh. You get that by sowing to the Spirit and saying, you know what? If I'm willing and obedient, I'm going to eat the good of the land. I mean, there's going to be goodness in this relationship. And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. Thank God. Thank God. You know, but I mean, what good is it to do it the world's way? And you know, you're just doing anything you want to do. Then you get married. You're all excited. You're going to get married. And we're going on our honeymoon. Big deal. What are you going to do? What's new? Nothing. You better be going to some place exciting. Is that right? But the honeymoon's supposed to be about us. There's something special going on. You can package it different ways and try to do all kinds of things, but the bottom line is, same old, same old.
And it could have been the beginning of something awesome. I tell couples that I counsel that are planning to get married that have already been active, I tell you, you know what? You need to cut that off right now. Well, we're not getting married for 4 months. You can do it. Let me tell you something. Everything you do right before the Lord will reap a harvest of life. Are you listening to me? But if you're just going to sow to the flesh, just know it's going to corrode something. It's going to corrupt something. And you wonder why later you don't trust. Why? Because you know your spouse doesn't listen to God. They don't obey the Lord. How can you trust them? There will always be that doubt because you know they compromise. See that? You see? You don't realize how far it goes into the areas of our life, but it does. Sow to the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. Now, we made it to two. We better move faster. Here we go. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. That could be in spirit and in body. Lewdness. That's when lust is out of control in your life. Idolatry. That's when you worship things other than God. Sorcery includes drugs. It also is witchcraft. People that get manipulative with other people and they always figuring out how to manipulate people in their situations. That's part of sorcery. Hatred. How many of you know hatred destroys? Contentions. People that always argue. You ever know you get around people that always like to argue and that's kind of their big thing? They don't realize it's killing their life though. They're argumentative. Jealousies. Outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions when you're not with your authority. That's what most people are. Always us and them. Always talking behind the leader's back, the boss's back. It's dissension, but it destroys lives. Heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. Now the Greek word for revelries, I would say the best way to translate that is today's partying. That's what it is. Getting together with a crowd and drinking and doing all kinds of things that are supposedly fun, but not realizing in that whole process, the whole thing is set up for the flesh. And you're out there at the music and shaking things around and looking at things and stirring up things inside. That stirs up the flesh. He says, you know what? That's part of the corrosion of life. It's part of the works and the harvest of the flesh. You know, even today, we were flipping through the channels the other night, and they showed, I don't know whether it was American Idol or one of these things where the young stars are coming up to sing and do these things. But there was a young little girl. Oh, she must have been, I don't know, 8 years old and such. But she's out there, you know, comes out before the crowd and she's saying, "Are you ready to party? Party!" And I'm thinking, now you ought to be talking about Bobby's birthday party, you know. Party! She's talking, you know, you go to the Shamu show at SeaWorld at night particularly and they party with Shamu or whatever the thing is, you know. And they're, "Are we ready to party?" You know, because the world just makes partying the great thing. That's the special thing. We're going to go out partying. But see, we have to be wiser than that. And we have to understand that the whole thing of partying is let's go give ourselves to the flesh. Not realizing the harvest. It's not just somebody says, "What, a hangover?" Oh no. That's the minimal part of the harvest. Your life is being eroded right out from under you. And you wonder, why are things in my life not going good? Because you sowed to the flesh and you're reaping the harvest of the flesh. What does he say? Sow to the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you won't reap the harvest of the flesh. So he goes on and he begins to talk about the harvest of the Spirit. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. How many of you like love? How many of you like to be loved? You like that? When people around you love you? I'm not just talking about a person of the opposite sex. I'm talking about people that you work with. They just love working with you. There's a respect. There's an honor. They appreciate you. They enjoy your personality. There's love there. Not to mention there's love in your heart and you enjoy other people. There's love. That's a wonderful harvest to have. Love in your heart. Instead of walking around with that attitude of the world. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Attitude of the world. Everything on the freeway. Gee, yeah, yeah. I mean, everything's complaining. Everything is complaining. Look at the harvest of the Spirit. Love. Look at the second one. Joy. How many of you like joy? Joy. I don't know about you, but I like going about my day with a smile, not just on my face, but in my heart. Man, I'm telling you, life is good. Things are good. joy, the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, the harvest of the Spirit is love and joy, enjoyment. But we got to remember that these things are harvests. They come from planting some. Like, for example, Proverbs says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Listen again. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. You think, well, the reason I don't have joy is because her or because him. No, no, no. Listen. A man has joy by the answer of his own mouth. Yeah, if I hung around you all day and listened to you, I wouldn't have any joy either. Constantly complaining. Constantly speaking negative. From the time you get up, oh, I can't, nothing to wear. Gee, where's that thing? Hey, who took this thing? I mean, just constantly. There's no joy in that. And you don't realize that you have that attitude. You're speaking it out. It's going into your ears and depressing you because life is bad. Because you're listening to your own words. But if you'll do what the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If you'll begin to say, I'm not going to be negative and critical. I'm not going to be a complainer. I'm going to begin to speak life. I'm going to speak blessing. If somebody didn't put something back, I'm going to say, all right, bless the Lord. Now, you don't have to be religious. All right, who took this deal? Who took my whatever, my comb, my brush? Come on. All right, who took it? All right, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for giving it back. Let me tell you something. It makes all the difference in the world to sow right. To sow right, joy, love, joy, peace. How many of you like peace instead of stress, anxiety? Stress and anxiety, it'll deteriorate more than just your joy. It deteriorates your health. Is that right? It'll deteriorate your money. Stress. Yeah. You'll be much better off financially if you'll have joy and peace. Peace in the heart is wonderful. I'd pay any price to keep peace in my heart. See, these are things. How do you get these? You sow to the Spirit. You sow to the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. What's the next one? Long suffering. We don't like that. We like short suffering, if any. Isn't that right? It's patience, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Some of us never even heard of that one. Self-control. How do you get self-control? By sowing into self-control. See, against such there is no law. What does that mean? There's nobody that's going to be offended by you showing them love. Nobody's going to be offended by you having joy to share, having peace in your heart. There's no law against these things. It's not going to corrupt. You're not going to be going contrary to laws and things that will go against you, that'll cut across. No, you're going to be going with the grain. You're going to be not with the grain of the world, but with the grain of goodness for you. See? Goodness for you. How many of you know bosses like people that come in and have a good attitude at work? And don't complain all the time. We don't realize. We think, well, I'm just giving my suggestion. Well, you know how I am. If I think it, you know what the Bible calls that? A fool. Is that right? A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Isn't that what the Bible says? So you might not want to tell on yourself anymore. Just jab your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Come on, tell him. Talking to you. Now, let me tell you how you sow. How you sow. Sowing is what you hear, what you say, what you see. Sowing is how you spend your time. Sowing is how you invest or buy, spend your money. Like Proverbs says, buy the truth. Somebody said, the truth doesn't cost anything. Oh, but it'll cost you to get the truth. Just to buy a Bible, it costs you money. To buy some tapes, it costs you money. To join boot camp, it costs some money. It cost you something to come here today, didn't it? Cost you time, cost you gas. It cost you something to come here. But what are you doing? By being here, you're sowing to the Spirit. And what is it doing? While you're sitting here in the presence of the Lord as we're worshiping, while the Word of God is being taught, God is breathing insight and correction and instruction to you that'll bring you life. And if you would have skipped today and gone with the flesh, said, I would go next week. And if you'd have skipped today, then just know you might have been watching something on television that had been sown to the flesh. and you would have missed out on what God's showing you today that is a key to the harvest of life in your life. You'd have missed that. See? But you didn't. I'm even glad you didn't miss it, right? Because God's speaking to us. See? And so, there's no law against it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I remember a friend of mine, David, who was going to the church. He was married. He had some beautiful, beautiful sons, had a wonderful, beautiful wife, loved God, was involved in ministry, sang in the choir and so on. And I remember that I would talk to him periodically. We were becoming friends. He was part of the church, and I was a youth pastor at the church. And I remember one of the work days or something, I was talking to him, and I began to hear his words change. I began to hear him say things like this. Yeah, I told my wife, you know what? How can I be attracted to you? You know, you need to lose some weight. Now, she was not that far overweight. She had some kids. But he began to say these things to her. And I looked at him, I thought, well, where is that coming from? I said, you said that to her? Yeah. You know, I mean, she wants me to be attracted. She wants me to feel all these feelings for her. But I told her, you need to do something. You know, we're getting undressed and everything, and together we're in the room. And I said, tell me where that's coming from. Tell me what you're thinking. And as they begin to probe, see, he's been hanging around the guys at the office, going out, spending some extra time with them. How many of you know that that's dangerous? And as he's out there, they're just talking out of their heart, giving their opinion. Oh, check her out. Oh, she's got a nice this, nice that. Oh, I like a woman that this. I like this, and I like this. And here's all this flesh talk going in. I like this, and I like that. Comparing, going into the ears, into the heart. And before you know it, he doesn't even realize that now he's going home, and he's looking and comparing. What happened to the wedding day? I'm only yours. I'm making a commitment to you. You've got my heart. No, all that's out the window. See, the way of the flesh is, I do whatever I feel like doing, whenever I feel like doing. But it corrodes your life. It erodes, rusts away life right out from under you. And so he began to talk like this, and I told him, you know, you shouldn't do that. That's not right. That's not right to do that. But he continued to do it, and the relationship got worse and worse. His wife felt worse and worse as time went on. And eventually, he found some lady that supposedly had just the look he's looking for and began to connect with her and such. And now he's going to leave his family, which he did. Left his family. He's going to be with this lady and such. Let me tell you, he lost out on life. He lost a beautiful wife that loved him. A precious, such good-looking little boys that loved him as their daddy, and here he is, and he made a big mistake. I think about one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Proverbs 11:22. It says, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. You know what that means? That means you get to looking at the outside, and you say, that's so beautiful. Look at that ring. Oh, that's the most beautiful ring. Look, I got to have that. Got to have that ring. And you get that ring, and you get that ring home, and you say, ah, there's a nasty pig attached to this ring. Ah, smelly and stinky. I hate this. All you could see is the ring, the outside, not realizing that the larger part of the order that you ordered was a nasty, stinky, slimy, smelly pig. Because how many of you know, quality of relationship happens in here. Is that right? See? And so what happened? It wasn't long until he was miserable. Miserable. Absolutely miserable. How did that happen? He began to hang around, sowing the wrong seeds. Like Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands around with the sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. See, he's sowing to the Spirit, law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night, got those tapes going in the car, got those messages, got worship music going. See, sowing to the Spirit. Well, nobody else does that. Look at their life, lame brain. Do you want that? Well, no. Well, then sow to the Spirit. You cannot sow the same seeds that they do and get a different harvest. You've got to sow to the Spirit. See, that's why we do boot camp. That's why we do ROTC. That's why we have tapes. That's why we, Because God changed this man's life by listening to the Word and meditating on God's Word and beginning to speak about who I am based on what God said, not how I felt. And I'm telling you, it radically changed me. Now, I contrast this guy that I was telling you about with a pastor friend of mine, Ron. I was up in Oregon, Canby. He pastors there. And I was talking to him in his driveway. He's a good guy. He's about this big. And he's just always bubbly and full of joy. But he talks differently than most people. He's talking about the goodness of God. And he said, yeah, I just got back from a trip. I said, really, did you miss your family? Oh, man, I miss my family, miss my wife. And he's doing all this stuff. And he said, you know what I do, though? You know what I do? He's all excited. You know what I do? Right on my visor. He goes, I got hundreds of miles to drive, but right on my visor, I got a picture of my wife right there. And he said, and every once in a while, I just look up and go, can't wait to get home. She's fine. And you would look at him and say, look at this dork. You know, what's up with that? Now, listen. Most people would trade their relationship for that one that fast. Because see, he comes home. Let me tell you, what he does can't control the mood that she's going to be in. That doesn't mean when he comes home and he's been saying all this stuff and he busts through the door that she's sitting over there by the counter. Da-da-da. Is that right? I mean, he may bust in and say, baby, I'm home. She's like, I got a headache. You know, you can't control that. But let me tell you something. When he comes over and puts his arm around her and loves her and says, I missed you so much. I love you. And sows those seeds of love and affection into his wife, not allowing his mind to compare with anybody else because God gave him this wife. Therefore, I sow my affection into her. I speak my love toward her. And when he comes and begins to sow that seed, it may not come up today. But how many of you know that's going to come up? And it's going to be life. It's going to be abundant life. You understand what I'm talking about? See? Sow to the Spirit, not the flesh. Sow to the Spirit. Now let me remind you of something Jesus said in Mark 30 as I close today. Mark chapter 30 is where Jesus said, To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground is smaller, everybody say smaller, is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so the birds of the air come and nest under its shade. Let me tell you what he's talking about. You're looking at your life and you're seeing a harvest of corruption, corruption in your relationships, corruption in your heart, the lack of confidence, the lack of joy and peace and love and blessing in your heart, the lack of finances. There's a decay, there's a corruption, a corrosion. You're thinking, man, the Bible talks about God loving me and blessing me and helping me, but it ain't happening in my life. And Jesus said, right at that time, it seems like such a small, insignificant thing that wouldn't make any difference for you to take this seed called the Word of God and to begin to plant it. He said, it seems so small. He says, but if you'll do it, it'll grow up and it'll become greater than all that stuff going on in your life. In other words, the things that are corroding, decaying, eroding right before your eyes, if you'll begin to sow God's Word into your heart and begin to do the things that God's Word says, that the life of God is so powerful that it'll take that rust and eliminate it, clean all that rust up, and restore what it eroded, and put protective coating on it, so that now all of a sudden you're strong, and the car is running tight, if you know what I mean. I mean, it just feels solid. It's a solid life, is what it is. See? Because you're so into the Spirit. And he says, it seems to you like, it's too late for that. It's not going to make a big difference. And Jesus says, it only seems smaller, but when it's sown, it becomes greater. It will overtake all of that in your life. And you think, yeah, but I've already messed things up. Yeah, but the life of God will restore. The life of God will come plowing up through all of that and bring you up to another place, another level of living. See? So here's what I want to tell you. Back to Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen to this key. What he's telling you is, don't wait until you have time. Whatever the Holy Spirit is saying for you to do, whatever would be sowing to your spirit, do it now. Yeah, but I don't really have time to do it. You will never get time to do it. The flesh is consuming you. I got to do this, and I got my schedule so busy. You'll never do it. He says, but if you'll just say, no, I got to do this, and just start walking in the Spirit, get the Word of God in, get the tapes in the car, get the Word, get the worship, get in boot camp, do whatever it is that the Lord's saying. Get in the ministry. Sow into the Spirit. Sow into it. See? If you'll do it, then he says, you won't reap the harvest of the flesh. In fact, you won't have the time to sow into that field anymore because you'll be too busy doing what God says. Don't wait till you have time. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Father, thank you for your word.
We hope you enjoyed this message today by Jerry Dearman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. To join Operation Solid Lives, Pastor Jerry's free discipleship program, get free teaching downloads and blog and Twitter updates, find the campus of The Rock near you, or to join the 2 Spy Club and help get this uncompromised teaching to the world, visit us at jerrydearman.com or write to Jerry Dearman Ministries, P.O. Box 4970, Anaheim, California, 92830.